what he buys for his cars, and probably pay others as far as the definition of a doctrine of fornication. But I think if you research the scripture and you find out what the scripture says, Jesus says that if a man commits adultery for any other reason than fornication, that means unlawful activity outside of his marriage. And certainly adultery, by any modest definition, or desire or whatever, is given in place. It don't matter if you're 15 or 50. It doesn't matter if you've been married 4 times or you're single. You're committing adultery. And that's what the Word of God says. So, I don't necessarily adhere to the definition of mine or a lot of other people just because they say it's that way. I think if you do your research and look at the scripture, that you'll find that adultery is anything that is involved in illicit sex. And number two is the Bible is written to God's people. The Old Testament is written to the Jews. The New Testament is written to the church. There's only one book in the Bible that incorporates everybody, and that's the book of John. I don't know how they handle it in, the circle that you're involved in, but we have for many years an old book of John's New Conquer. And the reason that we did that basically is because that's the book that Jesus dealt one on one with people. He dealt with people in the world. He goes to the famous marriage family, he goes to the little guy with the Zacchaeus, the man with the withered hand. All of these are people with a worldly background. They're not Christian or spiritual backgrounds, and so forth. So we can't just point at everybody in the world, in the confines of the Word now, and so forth. So that's the reason why I say that the people who are outside the church and have been involved in marriage and divorce, and then they come to the church. The church is going to demand if they're remarried to get out of that marriage. I cannot see that. I don't see it in the scripture. I don't see anywhere in the scripture that any person has been absolutely commanded or demanded or that did get out of their second marriage in order to make themselves right with God. In fact, the Bible says that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. I believe that people, even though they are unregenerate, unsaved, say any way you want to, that if they have violated the Word of God, that is, they have not held true to the principles, obligations of their marriage, their marriage vows, that they're just as wrong as anybody. Whenever they divorce, but certainly I believe that anybody who is in the church, anybody who believes that they are a Christian, and they allege to be practicing Christian principles, they allege to be the children of God, I would never condone a divorcement in their family. Whether they married again or not, I would not condone that. And certainly I would never marry somebody like that. I would never commit my death to anything like that. But I think we're dealing with a situation that is just a blanket statement. If you are married more than once, whether it be the third or the fifth marriage, I've met people that in most cases, if you have to take it out of that marriage and go back to their first. I don't believe that God ever intended that. I don't think that that's even logic in the mind of God. It's just not logic. People cannot do it. They make it because you have more wills than one. God has a lot of trouble dealing with man's will. And we have seen that more so than not in many, many cases. So, how to get a divorce, I'm here to finish with. But particularly in the church. So I still say that 1 Corinthians 7:15 that I read there, that verse is dealing with marriage and the bondage of the law. That is made to mean something else. And there are many, you can go find a meaning to any word you want to live with you. Just keep looking for biblical authors that sort of thing, sort of functional arrest. And it, you know, it doesn't really follow the word everybody in the world. And I tell them the same thing. Because the word all means all, I think. But the fact is, in the scripture that I've used is Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Does that mean everybody comes from it? It does. And here it's a true meaning, but you can't just place a blanket on that. But here, if you just demand it more again, you can see the kingdom of God. Okay, well, I believe that. But that really has nothing to do with marriage or remarriage. It says, we need to everybody that needs to understand about being born again. And there's only one way. And that's the way I answered it in this paper. There are not many ways. Marriage is one way, but we're talking about being born again. We're not talking about two people who are involved in the same situation, and their will absolutely be committed on both sides to the same thing. I mean, two different people have two different outlooks, and so on. And as I said before, I don't understand that. If you think you do, you've got the real shortcoming. And it's somewhere down the line. And the second point, there's a 13-3. I'm not going to retain it. Well, of course, I believe that. But that has nothing to do with marriage. It's got nothing to do with keeping married people together. Except you believe that I am in the usual values of a divorce. We're talking about faith in God. Faith in Jesus Christ. There is no other way. But to pull that out of that text and include in the context marriage and remarriage, I don't think is possible. It might be logic to some people, but to me, it's not. And of course, in 1919, in my opinion, the celebrity Jesus. God wants everybody, because this is the only way we can have a wonderful society. And we can be talking about that every time they think married to people together. So we are always related to God, and it's established this great institution. He's done it so that we can have some kind of a civil society whereby we can. And women can live together in society without dignity, and we can live together and respect each other's rights and privileges and live the successful life and so forth. So, the fact is, though, I want to drive home the point that Jesus is saying, not that you're not permitted to remarry if you have the right of the reason for divorce. And I still say, based on particularly 1 Corinthians 7:15, that if an unbeliever, whether he be in the church or out of the church, in the kingdom or out of the kingdom, if he comes up an unbeliever, and I've known this to happen more than is that a single marriage? And there are other reasons why you can give them a mom. But the fact is, there's no doubt about it. If a couple is having problems and it can be proven, then most people can live in one again. And divorced and remarried. On one side or the other, there has been, and most of the time it's on both sides, fornication. Then they are within their rights to be remarried, whether they're born again or not. And I want to make this clear point. Every person has been born again, regenerated, or come and put their faith in Christ, and are a part of the church, whether it be their name on the rock or not. I would never advise them to get a divorce. I don't care what their problem is. God is a problem solver. He is a great master. What the problem is, we go to psychiatrists and psychologists, and they just put it all away. We let people up. And people go like Christian psychologists, there's no such thing as that. People are coming to the counselor. He's the great counselor, the precious big pleasure Jesus is. And he tells us in Psalms 1 and 1, not to sit at the seat of the worldly counselor, but to come to him and he can strike all those kind of things. That is coming to each other's. Herod and Herodias thing. I believe that Herod was in a problem situation. I do believe that. But he is not told to get out of that marriage. But he has had the pressure put on him. This is his God knows what you're doing. So he doesn't have to get out of that marriage. He just says you're going to put on a awful situation. Well, take Caleb. He says every day on an awful situation because he was something against God. And against the things of God. And certainly he was in an awful situation.
I've been my student where John somewhere else.
And I mean, we're beginning with the subject of our that we are so close together. It's very hard to differentiate, you know, and get to a harmony tonight because some of these things in the Bible might actually deny the scripture, and I'm not going to do that. But there's so many other things if I can possibly help that. So, there's no doubt that some of these things, you know, are practical, in my opinion. You know, there's some of them that you can't define facts. And so forth. So, I believe that the fact that the church has been away is not accepted to be for fornication and shall marry another committed adultery. But if fornication is involved, they are not committing adultery if they remarry. I don't know whether you see that or not. That we're in on that. I glanced at that way. And if the woman that is put away, she remarries, if she's put away for any other reason, then she commits adultery. I agree with that. That's what the scripture says. But if there's fornication involved on both sides, then there would be any kind of illegal, unlawful, or irresponsibility of spirituality as far as any remarriages.